the Mike Tech Show, show number 548. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics. My email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. We have one voicemail for later on. The phone number is 240-949-2450, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow, and Facebook, facebook.com/MikeTechShow. I have great show lined up. Want to talk about my system changes and the upgrades that I made, the good and the bad. We had some troubles with one thing, and I want to talk about it. I also have some announcements I'm going to do first. I have the voicemail I mentioned, have a couple emails, some follow-ups on some topics from the last couple weeks, and also some great questions that I'm going to answer, take my time and answer. And depending on time, there may or may not be music at the end of the show. So before we get started, I want to thank Instant House Call for sponsoring tonight's podcast and the Mike Tech Show. Instant House Call is the best remote support software that you can use to take control of another system, do anything you need. One of the nice things that I like is the ability to force a remote boot and then reconnect you. So if you're having a lot of troubles and you start fixing, maybe you're cleaning a virus or some malware, and you're having troubles, you can go to the toolbar and force a remote boot and reconnect. And that has saved me many, many occasions. You can try Instant House Call free for 15 days by going to instanthousecall.com or clicking on the link on my website at miketechshow.com. Remember to use the promo code MikeTechShow. Now, before we get into the content for tonight, a very important announcement. There's an online conference that's going to take place every Monday morning at 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time. It's a free live stream, and it's called Jetpack. There's nobody peddling any info. It's anybody in the IT business. It's real IT business live. And it's hosted by the tech podcaster, Jeff Halish. And you can meet fellow techs and business owners online. Real ways to grow your IT business. And there's no pitches. After the show, you can hang around on the stream and take a look at live product demos. But this is going to be for four consecutive weeks starting June 29th. That's June 29th through July 20th. Then August 3rd, 4th, and 5th, actually August 2nd, you can join us at CompTIA's ChannelCon in Chicago. And there's a podcaster meetup at 5 p.m. in Chicago, so 5 to 7, and that's hosted by Lisa Hendrickson, Call That Girl. Carrie and I and others will be on the podcaster panel, and I'm going to have a link in the show notes for you to sign up for that conference in Chicago for free. If you are in the IT field, you definitely want to try to attend that. Jetpack Online, I am going to have a link in the show notes for you to click to register that you're going to be attending the online conference. Make sure to check out the show notes for tonight's show. I'll have it posted up by Friday evening. And you definitely want to try to attend some or all of this content, whether it be the online Jetpack conferences or the meetup in Chicago. Also, a quick reminder, last week I was the guest on Lisa's Call That Girl's Office 365 show. So it was almost an hour and a half. We had a great time. You'd want to check that out. I'll have a link where you can watch that online. Recording early tonight because I have a big project tomorrow, and I've talked a little bit about it. It's a new client, a real estate agent, and I'm replacing their server with a Synology NAS device. So I'm going to be copying all the data, the shared data, getting it onto the NAS, setting up the NAS for remote access. The owner can access files when he's out of the building. Brand new computers for the office. I'm going to set up guest wireless, set up a brand new color laser printer. There's a lot of work. My son, Michael Jr., and I will be working all day. And the reason I'm recording very early, normally I record at 8 o'clock on Thursday evenings, Eastern time. I'm recording at 5 o'clock because I want to get to bed early tonight. So I need a good night's sleep to be on my game for tomorrow all day. So that's what's happening tomorrow, and that's why I'm recording early tonight. I want to cover the system change that I talked about last week. Monday, got together with the local system builder that I know, Dominic, very good builder of systems, and we took the Carry built system that Carry sent me a couple years ago, and I needed to get it all into a smaller case. Now, there's a gigabit motherboard that's a couple years old. It's a Core i5 processor. The motherboard has only 2 SATA 3 ports, but 4 SATA 2. So I needed to get a different mix for my system, and I wanted to upgrade to a RAID 0 dual 512 gig Samsung SSDs. So the first thing we did, we took the Crucial SSD out, which was the one that was my primary operating system in the C drive, and we used Acronis True Image Unlimited to do a clone to the RAID. So we set up the RAID 0. The clone seemed to work with no errors, and we got a full clone from the one drive to the RAIDed drives, and we had a problem because it would not boot. Tried everything humanly possible, and I could not get a good boot. It would always error out. There was a problem, and we even tried to fix it. It just couldn't correct. But when we did a drive image directly just to one of the Samsung 512s, it worked great. So I have one 512 gig set up with my OS and then a secondary 512 gig SSD just as a standard drive letter. One of the upgrades, we changed the cable and made sure that I'm now a true 6 gig on the boot drive for the connection. And then I added a third 3 terabyte drive, and they're on the other controller that just has the 4 SATA 2s. All the memory just, you know, came over. We noticed that the stock cooler of the Intel Core i5 needed to be reseated, cleaned, new thermal paste, put that on. I'm going to buy a third-party cooler, and we're going to do an upgrade because the stock coolers aren't the best. And one of the things we want to do is keep the system from locking up or having any kind of trouble. So I want to make sure that the cooling's in place. I've kind of maxed out the system. One of the other things we added I swapped out the DVD burner for a Blu-ray drive so we can burn Blu-ray discs. I can. All in all, everything's running tremendous. It's great. Had a little hiccup going live tonight because the USB port that I'm plugging in the mixer is a different port. So it shows up with a 2 in front. It's a different one. And the Ustream producer software that I'm using, I had to make sure that that was set. When I first went live tonight, there was no audio, and that was the reason. Now everything's good. One of the things I wanted to do was put my system in a position so when I want to redo the OS, I am absolutely going to do it from scratch, and I'm going to do a RAID 0 with those two 512 gig Samsung SSDs. So I can really maximize the performance. I could be running twice as fast as I'm running right now. I wanted to make sure that I'm in that position, but I wasn't willing to take on reloading all of my software this week because I was just way too busy. I got to make sure I have a weekend free that I can redo the OS. So here's the question. If I'm redoing my system, what OS am I going to put on it? Am I going to put Windows 10? Will I have all the drivers for my motherboard and everything? Do I put Windows 8.1 Pro? Or do I reload Windows 7 Ultimate, which I have? In a few weeks, I'm going to definitely be at an impasse where I got to decide what OS am I going to reinstall on my system. And it all depends on the driver availability for Windows 10. Because I'll do it. I'll take the plunge and do a clean install of Windows 10 Pro 64-bit. Which, by the way, it's done. Windows 10 is already been released to manufacturer. So the final version's out there and it's done. Everything now is just marketing as they will start to push it down to everybody who signed up for the free version. There's a voicemail that I'm going to get into right now that I'm going to play. Hang in there. It's a short voicemail. It's not the greatest quality. I did the best I could to clean it up. It's a great reminder about Windows 10. Give a listen.
Yes, Mike. This is Fred Ford. I'm a longtime listener to your show, and you're doing a great job for many years, and I do appreciate the free time you give us on podcast 547. You mentioned that the Microsoft Windows 10 is free. That's not quite true. It is free the first year, but not the second and future year. And we don't know what the cost is going to be. So before you run off and get every client signed up for version 10, the client, should know that there's going to be a cost as the second year. And they did publish, Microsoft published the OEM price, $100. And then the retail price they published would be $199. They did not publish the only part, update cost. Thanks, Mike. You're doing a great job. Bye.
Thank you for the reminder of the Windows 10. Your voicemail cut out at the end. There are some guesses at what the prices will be, but of course we won't know until Microsoft officially releases it. The assumption is, and again, we don't know what the upgrade will be. The assumption is that Windows 10 Home will be $99 or between $99 and $119, and the Windows 10 Pro will be $199. Usually, the Pro version to upgrade from the regular to the Pro is just $99. That's probably close to what it's going to cost. And what he's saying is year two, if you do not take advantage of the free upgrade for the first 12 months when Windows 10 is released, and then you change your mind, you decide, oh, I'm going to upgrade now, and it's been a year, now you got to pay. Or to add on to that, if you're Windows 7 Enterprise or Windows 8 Enterprise, the Enterprise version, you're going to pay unless you have the software assurance license. Very complicated. If you're not in the corporate world, if you're a home user, it's very easy. And my recommendation is at least sign up and then decide. And remember, if you wait, and this is why Microsoft's trying to get everybody to engage and commit to Windows 10 now so they can get the jump and try to force this into the corporate world faster than what Windows 8 just did not take off, and it did not make the impact that they wanted. They want Windows 10 to be embraced and adopted early. Now, I played with the Windows 10 preview a little bit. I don't think the last preview I was able to test with, but the ones before that have been out for the past year or so, I've been playing with it in a virtual environment, and it's been fine. Yes, there's some nice improvements over Windows 8, but I found a way to tame Windows 8 where my clients are fine. If my client is buying a brand new system, I want Windows 8.1 on it, 8.1 Pro, and I'll put Classic Shell. I'll change the icon to make it look like Windows 7. I make the environment look and feel and operate like Windows 7. So there's been really no issues with Windows 8.1 Pro with my business clients. Just remember, whatever you do, back up your system. And I say that all the time. Back up, back up, back up. That's our mantra. You got to remember that anything can happen. And if you have a good backup, then you can experiment. Then you can play. Let's get to some email here. Last week, I could not remember where the troubleshooter is for Windows Update. And one of the great things about doing this show, I learn something every week. Every time I do a show, I learn at least one thing. And I never use the troubleshooting that's built in to Windows 7. One of the things we want to remember here is go to Control Panel. I always like the View by Large icons. And thank you, Austin, for following up with this. Then go to Troubleshooting. Once you click Troubleshooting, there's an option on the far left-hand side. You have View All. Click it. Now, all the troubleshooting computer problems are listed in the View All. There is a Windows Update. Click that if you're having trouble with Windows Update. And now you can easily troubleshoot Windows Update. But I remember a long, long time ago using that. It doesn't always fix the problem, but at least it's something you can try. Now, with my one client that was having that trouble with the Windows Update, I just nuked and paved the system, and it was so much easier. He had an SSD drive. I had the Windows 7 Pro on a USB. It literally was under 5 minutes to get Windows installed. The biggest problem is the Windows updates. I don't know if any of you are using WSUS offline. I tried to set that up, but it keeps erroring out, and I don't get the updates. So that's, and I got the latest version. I download it. That doesn't seem to be working. So are there alternatives for having a depot of all of the Windows updates and all the Office updates that I can put on my NAS device in my home office here and then easily update systems that I'm working on it? Because that is one of my biggest problems, is applying Windows updates and waiting. And I have a 300 meg down connection, and it's still a couple hours. When you're applying 150 to 250 updates, I don't care what your connection is. Right now, the bottleneck is Microsoft. So I need to move that to a local depot here. So one of my questions for tonight, what are you using? What options are there other than WSUS offline? Because I've tried it a couple nights and it's not working. I'm getting an error that it's not finding all the updates online, and I'm just running the update. Could use some help. What's everybody doing out there? And then I will share it with everyone else. This is from Ty and needing guidance. Hi, Mike. I've been a listener to your podcast for about 6 months, along with your other co-produced Tech Vets. I really enjoy the information that both shows put out. I have found myself at a crossroads after being laid off a job I had for 15 years. I am wanting to get into a new line of work that I can really enjoy. I am 42 years old, and I know my way around building and troubleshooting a computer. That's great. That's where you want to begin. I wanted to know if there are any classes that you can suggest to me that would be helpful in learning more on a small budget. See, it depends on what you want to learn. You can go into so many different directions here, Ty. Almost all computer classes I have seen has a learning a program language or coding, which I know I suck at. I am overwhelmed by what to do, and I only need to know to be on the hardware side. Thanks for any information that you have. Ty, you might want to look at the A-plus certification and go that route because that's more hardware involved. Since you are familiar with the hardware and like the hardware side, and you said you've been listening to this show, you've been listening to Carrie and I on Tech Vets, then you should have a good understanding of how to clean a system. And if you're familiar and you know your way around the hardware, hang out for your shingle right now and start consulting. Start your own repair business. It's not that difficult if you have the passion to do it and you have the knowledge. Start looking for repairs in your neighborhood right now. Start out with family, friends, people you know, and let a word of mouth start to spread. You can, on the side, be getting your A-plus certification. I mean, there's no class, there's no magic class that I can recommend. I remember when I was in college, they teach you certain things out of the book, but when you get to the real world, it's not the same thing all the time. And especially when it comes with computers, everything changes. I can't tell you how many computer experts I've run into that's never heard of CombiFix, never heard of JRT, never heard of Adware Removal Tool. That's right. Never heard of Malwarebytes. Could you imagine that? These are computer experts. Because if your book taught, how old were they written? So there's no class that I can send you to that's going to give you all of that knowledge that you seek. I think you have a lot of it. If you are good at knowing your way around a computer hardware, then start simple with learn how to back up a system. Take your own computer. Download free software. Use the system image software. Get an external drive. Become an expert at backing up a system. So you can go in to someone and say, oh, what are you using to back up? Oh, let's do this. You need an external drive. This is the software. You can even start out by just syncing files by using a free program like SyncBack, free. Someone who's out of hard drive space, learn how to upgrade a hard drive. Work with software like Acronis. Learn how to clone a drive. Learn how to put an SSD in and clone from the big old mechanical drive to an SSD. Learn how to back it up using Acronis. And you're like, oh, I can't afford the $99 version of Acronis. Get online, buy an older version for $10. There's ways. Use the internet and you can find it. If you have the passion and the desire, you will find the business and start finding your niche in getting jobs and becoming the go-to person for hardware repairs, upgrading systems, and then you start to add on to that. There's lots of things you can start doing. You want to read, become familiar with hardware. I'd rather see you subscribe to some magazines that are more current information, like Maximum PC, Tips and Tricks, great articles in PC World. I love those too. I get those digitally on my Kindle app on my iPad. So there's lots of places online that you can go to. How about resurrecting old hardware? I talked about that last week. Taking someone's old laptop, cloning them, getting an SSD drive in there, and charge for the labor. There, you're going to start making money, and you're going to start getting known for doing that type of work, and it's going to grow from there. So, Ty, let me know how you make out. Let me know if this was any help. This is from Josh. He's got an Office 365 question and a great Amazon comment. Enjoy the shows as always. I have an Outlook Office 365 question. We have an email account for our customer service department that is used for all of our e-bills and other customer service automated emails. We use Active Directory to sync users and distribution groups with Office 365. But this particular email group has a status of in cloud, where the rest say synced with AD. Not sure why this was done in the cloud only, but it is working. My question is this. I had to set up myself as an admin on the group so I could see emails sent to this account when I need to look up a customer and whether a bill was sent out for them or not. Problem is, now I get lots of email filtering into my Outlook for this account. I set up a rule to automatically move it to a customer service folder, but I don't think the other admins are getting all this email sent to them. How can I make it where I just have rights to view this group's email when I need to, but I don't get automatic forwards to messages to that account? That's going to be difficult. This is a distribution group address, and I think that's the core problem, not an actual email account. So this may be part of it. I don't know. So let's stop there. Anytime there's an account that you're going to be sending emails and you need to monitor closely that account, create a real account, not a distribution group. I have been down this road where we didn't have Active Directory, but we had a distribution group and someone was trying to send messages from it. It's so much easier to have a real account. And then you could give permissions to send on behalf as or give the admin rights to that account to whoever you want. You can also forward email where email comes in to that account and stays there, and a copy is forwarded, and you could have maybe that copy forward to a distribution group. But here's where I would be very, very careful. If someone needs to act on something and multiple people are involved, you need to have a workflow. What I would want to make sure is that if you're sending the mail out, you want to keep the sent items clean and you want to be able to see where bills sent. If there's email coming in and multiple people are controlling that account, I would make it a policy that anything left in the inbox still needs to be processed. But if someone takes ownership of an email coming into that account, they need to move it to a different folder, maybe a subfolder under the inbox, that now that's being worked on. Because you don't want multiple people addressing the same email. This is something I've always ran into when you have too many cooks in the pot there, where you got too many people trying to control one account. Now there's a workflow problem, so you have to have a process in place. First thing I would do, Josh, is change this to a real account that's synced in Active Directory, and then go from there. And I think your problem's going to go away. Now, Josh continues, also, I have a plug to give kudos to Amazon. The other night, my wife and I rented a movie through Amazon Prime. It had some issues and kept rebuffering, and we would have to restart and then skip to the time where it quit. I just thought my internet connection was having some issues. So we just dealt with it. 2 days later, my wife said, we got an email from Amazon saying that they noticed that we had some problems with the movie and they are refunding us our rental fee. She asked me, did I email them? And I told her I did not. Apparently, they saw issues on their end and reached out to us with a refund. Now that's customer service. Anyway, any help is greatly appreciated on my other issue. Thanks a lot, Josh. Josh, create that account, and thank you for that Amazon story. It is why I almost exclusively buy everything from Amazon. I'll pay a dollar or two more for an item just because of Amazon customer service over Newegg and other competition. If the price is close enough, that's it. I'm buying it from Amazon. Let me tell you, a lot of times I look up something in Newegg, I go to Amazon, and it's the same price or a little cheaper. So as much as I love Newegg, Amazon, man, they're really doing it. I was shocked. On Sunday, I received an order that I placed on Saturday. I needed more tie wraps and some rubber bands and some office supplies. And so I sat and ordered them on Saturday. The delivery was supposed to be Monday. I received it from an Amazon driver. They drive unmarked trucks, but the guy had an Amazon hat and an Amazon shirt. Came to the door on Sunday morning and delivered that. How awesome is that? We will segue onto that. But a question from Brian, who asked, Mike, is there any way I can use your Amazon link from the UK? No. Unfortunately, a lot of my Canadian listeners, UK listeners, listeners from Australia, my link is only available if you're in the USA. And I so appreciate that. And I appreciate you trying. But you have to be in the USA to use my link. And that's amazon.mikenation.net. Your price stays the same, but a small commission comes back to help support the show. And I really appreciate that. I appreciate all your efforts in supporting the Mike Tech Show and downloading, staying subscribed, supporting the sponsors. A quick follow-up to Ty, who's looking at starting that computer repair business or consulting. You have a great, great business kit from Bryce at TechNibble, the computer business kit version 3. It's every form, every document that you would need to launch your business. That is a must buy if you're thinking of starting or you're in the computer business. There's going to be forms you're going to need and want, and this is the kit to begin with. A critical tool, a tool that I use all the time, is Fabs Auto Backup, and the 6 Pro version is phenomenal, and I'm going to be using that tomorrow on the job that I talked about because there's existing computers. How am I going to take all of the data? I'm going to use Fabs Auto Backup on both of those machines. I'll be running them at the same time, backing them up to external drives while we're setting up the new computers. Going to save a lot of time, and I'm going to get all of that information. Again, these are my affiliates. And then Instant House Call. If you need to remote access, it's why I use these programs and I talk about them, because I live and breathe them and I use these services and this software every day. Instant House Call, great program for remote control. And then you want to add on knowledge, become more informed, you got to check out Jetpack. That's going to help you out in the IT field because they're going to be talking about how to expand your business. Key topics that you're going to want to be part of and join those. And it's a free seminar. Make the time. Monday mornings, starting June 29th. At 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Got to be there. And then if you can, try to make ChannelCon. It's a great way to connect with the vendors, the solutions, with other people that's in your field. This is it. This is how you do it. That's it for tonight's show. Hope everybody had a good time and learned something. Send me your feedback. Send me your email, miketechshow@gmail.com. I really appreciate it. I'll be back here the regular time next week at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Thursday night for the live show next week. Have a great, safe week. Have a great weekend. I'll be back here next week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.